Welcome to the deep dive. We take those dense reports and make them easy to grasp. Today, it's the final evaluation report from back in December 2021 on the Finance-Linked Individual Subsidy Program, or FELSLSP. Our goal here, quick summary, what is FELSLSP, how's it doing, and crucially, what's holding it back according to this evaluation?
Yeah, and FELSLSP is interesting because it's so specific. It's a demand-side tool, right? Aimed squarely at South Africa's gap market.
That gap market being?
Individuals earning between roughly R3,500 and R22,000 a month. So they earn, you know, too much for a free government RDP house. But generally not enough to get a standard home loan from a bank without some help. FELSLSP is meant to be that bridge.
Okay, let's unpack that because the evaluation seems to have found a pretty big issue right there with who it's actually helping.
Exactly. That's maybe the core finding, this idea of helping the poorest people within that gap market.
Yeah.
It's not quite working out that way.
Just so.
Well, they call it a crowding out effect. Essentially, the people who need the subsidy the most, those at the lower end of that R3,501 to R22,000 scale,
yeah,
they're being pushed aside, crowded out by people earning closer to the R22,000 ceiling, people who are probably closer to getting a bond anyway.
So wait, the subsidy designed for the most financially stretched is actually benefiting those needing the least help.
That's what the data suggests, yeah. A fundamental mismatch in targeting.
And even for those who do get through, there are other problems, structural ones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The report was pretty blunt. It said the subsidy amount, the actual RAND value, is not realistic.
Not realistic compared to what?
Compared to rising building costs, materials, everything involved in housing construction these days. The value of this subsidy just hasn't kept up.
So the help it offers becomes kind of nominal, less impactful over time.
Precisely. Its buying power shrinks year on year if it's not adjusted.
It feels like a good intention struggling with economic reality and maybe logistics, too. Interestingly, the report flagged something else as a major admin hurdle.
Oh, yeah, the paperwork.
Right. It said the main reason applicants get rejected is just providing incorrect information.
Which points to maybe a lack of clear guidance or support during the application phase itself.
Could be. And that difficulty is amplified by bigger institutional issues.
Definitely. Institutional capacity is a huge one.
Mm.
The National Housing Finance Corporation, the NHFC, is the main implementing body.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't really have offices, like a proper physical presence, in most provinces outside Gauteng.
And that means?
It means things slow right down.
Yeah.
Processing an application can take, get this, up to 6 months.
6 months? Seriously? A bank might give you mortgage pre-approval in a couple of days.
Exactly. So you get your home loan offer from the bank, but then you wait half a year for the subsidy part.
The bank's offer could easily expire by then.
It often does. Leads to huge drop-off rates. It's a major friction point.
Yeah.
And then there's policy lag, too.
Policy lag.
Yeah. Some significant changes to FLSPLIC were approved way back in 2018. Stuff meant to make it more innovative, more flexible.
Okay.
But the actual official policy document needed to roll those changes out properly. Still pending when this report was written. So implementation is stuck using older rules.
Wow. So slow processing, outdated rules. What about just basic awareness? Do people even know about FLIST?
That's another weak spot. The marketing seems, well, ineffective. The evaluation found loads of beneficiaries only heard about FLIS through word of mouth.
Just from friends or family, not official channels.
Largely, yes. Which really screams, you know, for a proper marketing push, social media, radio, community outreach, the works. Above and below the line.
So the fixes seem pretty clear then, based on those problems. What did the report recommend?
Two big ones stood out. First, align the FLSP application process much more closely with the bank's mortgage processes. Try and sync those timelines.
To cut down that six-month wait, presumably?
Exactly. And second, crucially, update the subsidy amount annually. Index it to keep pace with building cost inflation.
Makes sense. You have to keep the assistance meaningful.
Yeah, at the end of the day, if FELSLSP is it's a potentially great tool for that gap market, but its success really depends on fixing that bureaucratic drag.
The turnaround times.
Right. And making sure the financial help it offers actually reflects current costs. It needs to be agile.
So wrapping this up, what's the takeaway for you, the listener? FELSLSP needs logistical fixes and regular financial updates to work as intended. But the report also hints at something broader, doesn't it?
It does. It touches on this area for more research.
Which is?
The extent to which people in that gap market are willing, and perhaps more importantly, able to use their own savings, things like pension funds, to help access housing.
So beyond the subsidy, how much personal capital people can actually bring to the table? That's a whole other layer influencing affordability.
Exactly. That willingness and ability to tap into personal savings could be a critical factor in the affordable housing puzzle. Something to really think about.